Attention listeners, we're excited to announce that AfterSight will be moving to our new office on March 26th. As we make this transition, our services will be down most of the day. We apologize for any inconvenience, but truly appreciate your understanding as we start this new chapter. Thank you for listening to AfterSight.
You're listening to an AINC original podcast. We believe you don't have to do life without a compass. Let us be your guide on this amazing journey. Welcome to Navigating Life with Vision Loss.
Hello, this is Kim Wardlow. I'm your host for NLVL. Thank you for joining us for this episode. We are in this kind of mini-series for the 2 months, talking about different aspects of the holidays, preparing for the holidays. I also just want to mention before we get into our topic for today that Colorado Gives Day is coming up, and you can donate to AfterSight through the Colorado Gives Day website. And all of that counts towards, obviously, your donation to us, but those donations also count towards the boost that they give us. So that's much appreciated if you have a chance to go online and schedule your donation. So last week, we were talking about holiday travel and tips for, you know, getting through all the crowds when you're traveling during the holiday season. And this week, we're going to talk about holiday decor. And I think we all, you know, have our decorations and things we like. But if you have lost some vision between last year's holidays and this year's holidays, it may be a little bit more challenging for you, or you just may be wondering, you know, what you want to put up and keeping things, how to do that safely. If you are a caregiver for someone and you're trying to assist them in decorating their homes, just making sure like there's no cords and things in the way. So we're just going to talk about that today so that you can be planning to make your home festive, but also safe, or if you have guests that are coming that may have low vision, just to be sure that things are accessible for them as well. So today we have our own Michael Cisneros, who's our community outreach specialist. He's going to be sharing some tips on decorating. And I know, Michael, not only are you out and in contact with our listeners and others as you're doing your outreach and assisting listeners, but your dad has low vision, and so you're also his primary caregiver, so you're assisting him as well, so you have some experience in this.
I am, and I do.
Well, thanks for joining us for the program today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So first, do you just want to tell folks a little bit about your role here at AfterSight and what you do?
Definitely. So my role here at AfterSight, I'm out in the communities and in people's homes. It allows me to connect with people who are low vision and blind alongside people who are sighted, whether they're a listener or a future listener, or they're a caregiver or another service provider, or they're just searching out ways to help friends and family. I'm there to give them all the information on how AfterSight can support them in their life, handling low vision and blind, and actually being a caregiver also. So I get to be face-to-face with people by going to communities and speaking in front of people who are also service providers. So I'm out there in the field just letting people know what is out there and what's available to them.
Great. And so as you're doing that and you're seeing how things impact people, how important do you feel it is for folks who are blind or have low vision to feel included in the holiday experience. So much of that can be visual.
Definitely. So people who are blind and low vision, they also have holiday traditions and memories that are priceless. So I think that accessibility just means that everyone can create new holiday memories and connections to remember in the years to come. And holidays, I think, are for mankind to embrace and include. I also always say that everyone deserves a standing ovation at least one time in their life. And to that effect, I think everyone deserves to have memories of time when they felt included and safe. So it should be all year long. So not just during the holidays or not just during the year. Everything should be accessible to everyone, whether you're low vision or blind, or you struggle with audio dealings with, or if you struggle to walk, or you are in a wheelchair. Everybody deserves to have a safe time during the holidays.
Right. So in thinking about decorations, certainly folks would want to incorporate, you know, favorites that they have and know where those are to enjoy them. But what are ways that we could incorporate maybe more tactile or sensory elements into holiday decor?
I think that natural elements are great. So real evergreen boughs and a real Christmas tree, whether it's a pain to take it down after the holidays, it's great. I think that a lot of the holiday decorations now, like the faux Christmas trees, they look fantastic and they look very real to sighted people, but the texture is definitely different. So for people who are blind and low vision, that texture is definitely an identifier and definitely something that everybody knows what that feels like. And you have the scent of it just that feeling that it's a real tree. You know it's a real tree. It was living at one point in time. And so that energy is still there when people are touching it and being around it. And just like small things like pine cones. Like, I know a lot of people get those scented pine cones with the glitter on it and stuff. And it's so easy to make your own pine cones. All you need is the pine cones, and you need your own special or your favorite scented oils, and just sprinkle the pine cones with those oils. It'll dissipate, but just resprinkle them. So instead of using chemicals and stuff, knowing that people are going to be touching them or being around them, not knowing what those chemicals are, you can just do it naturally. I also think that with candles, I think candles need to be something that need to be strategic. So people who are sensitive to the smell of candles, like, you can flow those candles. So you can have a sugar cookie candle in the kitchen, but you don't want in the dining room, you don't want the cigar and leather smell, because it's just going to smell like your cookies are burning. So if you can just flow those candles and not be such a huge shock of scent when you go from one room to another, I think that helps a lot. I am definitely sensitive to smells, and if that shock is there, I'm not having a good time. But if that flow is there, and you think, "Ooh, cookies smell fantastic," and you're in the dining room, and then it smells like some sort of evergreen, and it all ties together, I think that's great.
That's great, and I'm even thinking of like things on wreaths, like ribbons, and, you know, other things that may have texture to them. Or smell, or even sound. Have you seen decorations that have sound?
I have. So now there's actually icicles that make a tinkling sound, which are really pretty amazing. Yeah, they're pretty amazing. My mom, on my father's side, a lot of people are low vision and blind. So whenever we had huge gatherings with that side of the family at the house, mom used to do different things. So she would always put a cowbell on the door of the oven. So when she was opening the oven, that cowbell would ring and people would know that there's, you know, it's hot. And she would also put one on the door of the dishwasher. So when you heard that, you know that the door was open, so you didn't trip over it. That was really, really helpful. And also she had a train that was at the bottom of her Christmas tree every single year for forever. That was motion activated. So if somebody was getting near the tree, that train would activate and it would whistle and blow its horn and stuff. So she knew that grandchildren were getting close to it, and stuff like that. So there's a ton of other things. Now with my father, I actually have a Santa that yodels. So if he's getting close to that tree with vision loss, that Santa yodels, and I know he's close to that. And he also knows he's too close to it. So there's tons of things that are out there that are audio that can help you make sure that you're warning people that there's something close or something that could hurt them or something, you know, that could fall over. There's tons of things that are out there. I also like to have... when I was in school, and I still have one of our teachers, they taught us how to make a scented cookie that you would put on your Christmas tree. And I still have mine from the second grade. And it's really easy to make. All you need is a cup of applesauce and a cup of cinnamon. You mix those together. You roll it out. You use cookie cutters to make your shapes. We did ours actually in Braille. So all of us kids got our first initial in Braille on those cookies. And so every time you go up there and you rub one of those cookies, the scent of the apple and the cinnamon is still there after all of these years. And they're so fun to make, whether you're low vision and blind and you're making those with a family that are over or whatever, and they last forever. You can put them in the oven or you can let them dry for 48 hours. And I still have mine. And it's totally texture. You can still smell it on your fingers. That cinnamon still comes off. And it's a great tradition because it's the first one that I put on my parents' tree every single year. So there's definitely things out there that help, you know, with low vision and blind to make those traditions, whether you're decorating the tree or you're just visiting and you can feel that ornament one more time.
Wow, that's great. That is amazing that it's lasted that many years from when you were small.
And every time you open the box where it is, it smells just like I made it last week.
Wow. That's fun. And it's so easy. So
totally easy. That's totally easy.
That's a great suggestion. I may have to do that this year.
Yeah, and we used cloves to make the M for Michael in Braille, and they're still there. You can still smell them. And if you put them in the oven, put them at 200 degrees in the oven for about an hour, and the house smells wonderful.
That's so great. And to incorporate Braille if you want to, that's a really good suggestion.
Right. Yeah, so, it was cool.
Yeah. So I know a big part of holiday decorating, no matter, you know, what holiday you're celebrating, is oven lighting. And lighting can be wonderful. And sometimes folks, you know, still can see, you know, some lighting or maybe even colored lights, even if they've lost some vision. But lighting can also be dangerous because you have cords and things plugged in where you wouldn't normally at other times of the year. So do you have recommendations for that?
I do. You definitely need to set your Christmas tree and anything that has cords, you know, as far away from traffic areas as you possibly can, and warn people, you know, if they're coming over for the holidays or just visiting for a cup of coffee one day, tell them where that tree is or where those things with cords are. Make sure that they're not going across a walkway, you know, tripping over cords or anything like that. So definitely all those safety issues, definitely hold on to those. But like lighting, so the rule of thumb for a Christmas tree is you should have at least 100 lights per square foot of your tree. So if you have a 6-foot tree, you have 600 lights on that tree. So a lot of times what happens if you have one color on your Christmas tree, it looks just like a big mass of bright color. So it's hard to be distinctive on what you're looking at because you're just visualizing all those lights. So people with low vision vision to see a blob of light. So what I have done in the years past is I take that 1 foot rule with 100 lights and I do 100 lights of a different color. So the top could be red, the next one's green, the blue after that, white, whatever color combination you want to use. And so people who are also colorblind can still pick up the tree shape. And it's not just a blob of all white lights. And also those they have nowadays, those racing lights that are so fast and they blink so quickly, those can be triggering. Oh, yes. So I prefer, they have the ones and you can slow them down usually. And it's just a nice flow of twinkling lights, far better than those fast blinking strobe type lights.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't like this strobing lights.
No, it's too much, I think,
sometimes. Anxiety inducing.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. So anytime that you can, you know, slow that down or whatever. And they're lovely. I think they're pretty when they're fast, but I don't think I could take hours and hours of those fast blinking lights.
Right. And then you were talking about the color contrast. How do you see color contrast coming into play in other parts of the decorating?
I also think that with Christmas, it's kind of helpful that there's so much green and so much color. But a lot of times, like you should have not have green lights on your green Christmas tree because you'll never be able to see it. Lighting around windows are great because they're kind of a warning thing. So yeah, there's lights up there. You can see them so you're not walking towards the window. I think that contrast is a necessity, and you want to highlight everything. So the more contrast you have, the better. So whether you're low vision or you're not, contrast is good.
Are there any particular, of course, Christmas, we think of red and green. Hanukkah, I think of blue and white. Like, are there other combinations just in terms of contrast? Because I know, I have friends that, like, they'll pick a theme in different years, and they'll have purple or pink or, other colors too. I know not everybody sticks to the traditional colors. Are there color schemes that you've seen contrast-wise that work really well?
Definitely. So white, again, is always a great contrasting color. Orange is really easy to see, or easier to see for a lot of people, which is not a very Christmassy type of color. It's definitely a Halloween right. type of color combination. But black lights, I don't think would be great either. White and any light colored ones. A lot of times I've gotten yellow lights and they just look white. Mm-hmm. As well just use white instead of paying all that money for that extra yellow. And I think a Christmas tree with white lights is probably the prettiest way to decorate. And then with Hanukkah, of course, white and blue. So white lights and blue lights, that's a great contrast right there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. When you're inviting people to your home, maybe you're not low vision or blind yourself, but you're inviting somebody to your home that is or has low vision. What are ways? I mean, we've talked to some about the decorations themselves, or even things you can do as a group, like making the applesauce and cinnamon decorations. But just making your home more accessible to folks. With all the decorations and things being up, as if you have guests coming in.
So I think that you need to actually take that kind of journey yourself, and whoever you're having and coming over, whether they're low vision or they're struggling audibly, you just have to ask yourself that. So close your eyes, walk around through your house. Do you run into the table? Is the carpet something that somebody could trip over that they wouldn't be able to see, especially coming for holiday parties and stuff, usually they turn the lights down. So the lights that you have are really just the lights on the tree, or at Hanukkah time, it's just the menorah that you're going by and stuff. So with lighting, are people who are low vision going to fall over an ottoman? Is the coffee table in a place where people would run into it? So you can do all of that yourself and see. So if you close your eyes and you can't see something and you're tripping over it, someone with low vision has the high possibility of doing the same thing.
For sure. Yeah, it's a good thing just to keep in mind as we're putting things up and having our holiday gatherings and parties.
Definitely. And I've never met somebody, and on my father's side, there is a lot of low vision and blind relatives, and I've never met any of them that were not willing to help you out with things and not willing to, or very willing to tell you that something's in the way or something needs to be moved or changed or thing like that. So I've never met a person who's not open to helping you out with those plans and systems of helping people be at your home, being safe and feeling included.
So maybe inviting your friend who has the low vision to help you, you know, with the planning, or do a dry run of the party to see if there's anything that might cause folks problems.
And you should do one anyway. So
That's true. Well, Michael, I know that you are a bargain hunter, and you do really well with finding bargains and sales. Do you have any tips on holiday time can get so expensive for a whole variety of reasons, but, you know, presents and all of that, but even decorating can get pricey unless you're really focused on, you know, keeping to a budget and not overspending on your decorations. Do you have tips for doing more affordable decorating?
I do. I definitely am a bargain hunter. I love a bargain. It should be my middle name. But I'm hitting up everything. I'm hitting up the thrift stores. I am going to yard sales throughout the year. I also get involved with a couple different organizations that have ornament exchanges. So you give two or three or one, whatever the amount is that they require, and you get to pick another one from somebody else. So that adds to a tradition. Every single year you get a new ornament to put on your tree, or, you know, hang on your garland or whatever it is. But yeah, definitely hit up all those garage sales, because, you know, people are tired of the holidays once summer comes and they put all that stuff out there, and I'm just snagging up all those bargains and things. So majority of my holiday decorations are thrifted, or they are from aunts and uncles who downsized and they're going into a community or something. I'm snagging up all those. So there's different things to do. And I also believe, like, every year we do something like the cinnamon and applesauce cookies to hang on the trees or whatever. But my nieces and my nephews, we always do something every year. So you get to take a bunch of stuff home that you didn't have to pay for. And it means a lot, because it was people who, you know, and loved actually created them. So there's tons of different ways. You don't have to spend millions of dollars on your tree. You can, or millions of dollars at your Thanksgiving meal. And if you can, definitely do that. But there's definitely no reason why you can't do a low budget, beautiful, meaningful, memorable holiday.
That's great advice. And even right after Christmas, after the holidays, a lot of things go on sale too.
Yep. You can grab. I am right there. So it's not Black Friday I do, it's Black Day after Christmas I do.
Whatever that is. Yeah, the day after Christmas, Boxing Day.
Yeah, exactly. Boxing Day. That's great. I could use that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and if you're doing that, you may need, you know, a place to store all of those things until the following year. Do you have any tips on storing your decorations and organizing them? You know, so you're not, especially, you don't want to pull out, you know, lights and they're all in a tangled clump.
Oh, definitely. All those things that are out there to wrap your lights around the things, they're all great and they all look wonderful, but they do all cost money. So my lights, I just take from the many boxes and stuff that you have from gifts and whatever. I definitely cut out part of that and I'm wrapping those lights around there every single year. And I have them from years and years ago and put the same strain of lights on them and things like that. And then I actually find fish bowls. And so I put all my decorations, all like my bulbs and stuff in fish bowls. Mm-hmm. So I wrap them up. And so I just have to bring a fish bowl out of red, you know, glass ornaments or green glass ornaments. And so I just wrap the bowl and I tape it up. And so I'm not one to put them back into the container that they come in because those break down over years. And so I get plastic fish bowls. I get whatever I can to put them in, and then they're protected and they don't roll around. They don't get smashed, stuff like that. But I'm also one that's kind of pack rat-ish and every place I can find to store something in there. So at Christmas time, I am actually going around to every single closet and the attic and the garage to find all my stuff. And I don't put everything out every single year. So my traditional ones, like that cookie from when I was, you know, 6 years old and stuff, and things that since my mom has passed that have become extremely important to me and memorable of her and I that created. My mom was extremely creative, especially with holidays. Entertaining was my mom's expertise. She was fantastic at it. So a lot of her stuff has been passed down to me and stuff. And so I choose every year and I have enough to probably have 10 trees in the house, but every year I just change it up and make something new every single year. So a new memory every single year, new pictures. It doesn't look like last year. It doesn't look like the year before. So it's new. So storage wise, everywhere I can find, I'm putting in. If I had enough shoes, I would stuff my shoes with ornaments. And stuff, but I love them. And I actually loved, you know, in the summertime finding a box that I had forgotten that I had and I open it up and it's all these memories of Christmas things that are in there or Thanksgiving stuff. So it's a great like memory lane for me, even if it's in July and I'm looking at Thanksgiving things.
Right. Right. Well, and I think that is a great idea to think about if you do have considerable amount of holiday decorating items that you don't necessarily need to go out and buy new items each year. You can just do different combinations of things you have and it can look totally different.
Exactly.
I have done that. I've done that too. We have a lot of decorations. I guess we just like birds, like a lot of bird decorations. And one year, that's what I did. I just pulled out all the birds and kind of the natural nature types of ornaments we had and did that.
Oh, exactly. So exactly.
You can do themes and things like that.
Yeah. My friend has I don't know how she's collected them, but over the years she has collected wooden mushrooms, like hand carved wooden mushrooms. Mm-hmm. They're all different sizes and colors. And so a couple of years she's done a mushroom tree, which sounds strange, but it was lovely. And everything on there, nothing's breakable. And you can touch all of them. And it's just a really cute idea. So it can be different every single year. Traditions are great, but you can make a new tradition every single holiday.
That's great. Well, as we're getting to the end of our time, Michael, do you have a favorite memory or story that you could share with our listeners? I know you've shared a few bits and pieces.
I do. So years and years ago, because every single year we've gone to the Parade of Lights in Denver. I don't have very many traditions, but that's definitely one of the traditions that my family has always held. Whether we're angry at each other or we're loving on each other, the Parade of Lights is something that we always go to. and stuff. And so my very first Parade of Lights that I could remember, it was great. The whole family was there and we had hot chocolate and all these things. And the parade was going on and we were under a walkway. So it was to be able to walk from one building to the next building. And there was a Jack in the Box. And the Jack in the Box just happened to jack out of the box. At the time it was going underneath that walkway.
Oh no.
I have never witnessed every single person in my family laugh as hard at one time as that one time. And the Jack in the Box, the head fell off. Which made it even more hilarious that they were going to have to carry that head through the rest of the parade.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the best memories that I've ever had of a Jack in the Box destroying itself with a walkway over the street. So I will always remember that. And it's weird and it's strange, but it gets brought up every single year, how we all witnessed that Jack in the Box being destroyed.
That's great. Well, thanks, Michael, for sharing some of your own traditions, some tips about how folks can incorporate, maybe make some new traditions. If you're doing some different things with your decorations and incorporating more contrast or some handmade decorations as well, and even just looking at making sure things are safe, and if whether it's your own home or that you're inviting people into, or you're going somewhere, just being aware of decorations and cords and all those things, just to have a safe holiday season, and just be careful you're not, you know, too tall running underneath bridges or something like that. So
exactly. And make those applesauce
the fate
cinnamon.
Of the Jack in the Box.
Exactly.
I want to make those applesauce things.
Do it. You will love it. And it'll stay for years and years. And I think you could probably actually eat those. I think that they would taste terrible, but they're safe. So if your cat or your dog or your nephew or the neighbor's child eats one, nothing's going to happen to them.
Right. They're not dangerous.
Right.
Well, thanks again for being with us and sharing that expertise. And next week, I know you mentioned in your memory that you have that tradition of going to the parade, no matter what the family dynamics are like in that particular year. And next week, we are going to be talking about navigating family gatherings, because they can be wonderful occasions, and sometimes they can also be stressful occasions. So just preparing for holiday events with family and friends, especially if maybe it's the first time you've gotten together since you've lost some vision, and people aren't quite sure about addressing that or talking with you about that. But just all those family dynamics can come into play. So we'll be talking about that next week. And then I also want to just remind folks again about Colorado Gives Day. If you want to schedule your donation, you can do that on coloradogivesday.org and choose AfterSight. And we will be very grateful for your donation. So thank you so much for listening and joining us today. We hope, as always, that this information has helped you navigate your life with vision loss.